Are you glad you're here today?
Amen.
I tell you. Who was that said Jimmy? Is that Jimmy? I wish you'd get more excited.
Yeah.
All right.
I wish the church would get excited too.
We're pretty excited right now, aren't we? All right. That's good. All right, take your Bibles and open to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Begin with verse 17. I apologize for my voice, but you wouldn't want to hear me this past week at all. So I've been praying hard. Lord, give me back my voice for Sunday. I need my voice back. All right, follow along with me. Verse 17, Philippians chapter 4. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk of whom I have often told you and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. From which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the power or the same power that he has even subject of all things to him, which means subject means control of all things. Now, when you look at verse 17, where he's talking about brothers and sisters, join in imitating me or an example, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. When Paul used two key words here, for us as disciples, we are the discipleship of Christ. So he used two key words here, imitate and example, or observe in some translation. But imitate means that not only to become like, but to obey. Now, Paul wouldn't say just obey me, but he said, as you follow me, obey as I follow God. And if we obey God, then we're following the example of those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then example means a model, or it also means a blueprint to use as a pattern for your life. So that's how Paul started out this particular paragraph, getting the Philippians to understand the importance of following Christ. And since this is Palm Sunday, you know, and we're leading up to the Holy Week, you know, this is an excellent week to meditate upon the glories and the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it was not for him, our life would be in vain. It would be in vain. E.W. Sangster, a pastor, was stricken with a disease that was slowly deteriorating his voice. And the doctor says, you know, this disease may completely wipe out your vocal cords and you may not be able to preach again. Boy, that would be terrible. That would be devastating to anyone for a pastor to not be able to stand and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ would be devastating. But it would be devastating to anyone. And he remarked to his other pastor friend, he said, it would be terrible. It would be terrible on Easter Sunday that I could not stand up and say that Christ is risen. But it would be even a more devastating state if I stood in the pulpit and said that Christ is not risen. But I'm here today to tell you that Christ is risen, hasn't he? He is risen. The scripture, Paul says, according to the scripture, that Christ died on the third day, he was risen, and now he is seated at the right hand of God. A family was watching a movie of the life of Christ. It was showing his crucifixion. And the little girl stood there and she watched as they took Jesus' body off of the cross and laid it in the borrowed tomb and rolled the rock over it. And the soldiers were set in place and tears was running down her face. And then immediately she looked up and she began to smile and those tears were wiped away. And she said, "Now the best is yet to come." She says, "I know he is risen." And that is true, isn't it? You see what Paul is saying here to the Philippians. Because, see, Philippi was a colony of the Roman Empire. So they had special privileges and opportunities as citizens of the Roman Empire. Well, guess what? We have special privileges and opportunities as Christians to live the life of Christ because he has empowered us to do so. So I want to encourage us as we think about this being Palm Sunday and this week as we move to Easter, the power that God has given us. He's given us examples to follow and to live by. So this morning, just quickly, as we can here, I want us to look at a few things. See, the Apostle Paul tells us how that we should think about ourselves in the light of Christ's death and resurrection. That's what he's saying here in this passage of Scripture. See, we are spiritually born into it, all right? Now, some people think that they can earn their way to heaven, but works will never get us there, will it? Works will never get us there. See, Jesus claimed there is only one way to come to the Father, and that is through who? Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's what he was telling Nicodemus in verse 3. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A little boy was explaining the basic Christian theology of what he understood to his sister. And he said, "You see, it was Jesus' job to die on the cross. It's our job to sin." That's a little young man's theology about sin. It's Jesus' responsibility to die, and our responsibility is to sin. In relation to that, a Sunday school teacher was explaining about Christ. He died for the sins of the world. And then she turned and asked the class, "What do we have to do to be forgiven of our sins? Do for Christ to forgive us?" It was a silence, and a little boy in the very back, he raised his hand eagerly and he said, "We got to sin to be forgiven." And of course, we are born into this world where there is a possibility for each one of us to sin. Is there anyone here that hasn't? No. And that's why Christ died on the cross for us. And it's not by works. It's through faith, by grace, that we are saved. It is the gift of God. Every day, we should give thanks for the blessings that he bestows upon each one of our lives. You see, so many people are going through this life empty inside. And then Paul was talking about the cleansing of the body, the purifying of the body. And one of these days we will be transformed. Our body will be transformed. Now, a lot of times we think, oh boy, I'm going to look a whole lot better when I get transformed. Now I get my earthly body. You know what? That's not what he's talking about. That transformation is talking about on the inside. See, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, does it? It doesn't matter at all. You could be the best looking young whippersnapper there is walking on this earth. But if you're not transformed on the inside, and that's where the beauty of our life should radiate, not from the outside, but the inside. You see, that's what pleases God. That's what brings honor and glory to Him. And see, when we don't do that, we don't follow in the steps of the examples of Paul is talking about here, Christ. And that's why he was talking to the Philippians. He said, you know, Christ died for you. And there's a lot of enemies out there trying to trick you up, trying to discourage you. And Satan, you know, is going to be the number one. He's going to place doubts in your mind. He's going to try to discourage you, as Phil was saying this morning. He'll try to do anything to get you to quit going to church or even reading your Bible, even praying, because, you know, God don't even answer your prayers. You know, I hear people say that, you know, I pray. Well, how are you praying? Jesus always prayed, Father, your will be done. That's why how we had to pray. He knows what we need before we ask. But he just wants us to be on the same page, wavelength, thinking spiritually as he is. So when we do that, you see, God's going to open up all the privileges and opportunities to us, for us to be whole and to understand as we live out our life for him. See, sometimes we forget. We think it's about us, don't we? It's never about us. God has placed us here to serve, to make a difference, to love, to serve, and to fellowship, and to make a difference in the lives of others. And there's so many people walking on this earth day by day that is searching for fulfillment. They're empty inside. And it's not possessions or anything like that that's ever going to fill that void. And see, that's what sin often does. It tries to be a filler for the things that we desire and lust and all that stuff after. But you see, Jesus said, I came to give you life, and that your life will be more abundant, fruitful. And if we are fruitful, then you see the product of what Christ is doing through us is going to multiply. And that's why in John chapter 15 says, you know, you bear fruit, you bear much more fruit, and then much fruit, and then it'll keep multiplying over and over and over. And that's why the churches multiply, because they was proclaiming the name of Jesus in every city. And people was taking that in. You see the excitement and joy on our lives today here in this service. You know why? Because God has made a change. He's made a difference in your life. And you see, it just don't happen in one day and then the next day you're empty. But you need to keep filling, pouring, and reading, and studying. And he will fill you up. You'll be running over. But you see, you just don't get it all at once and you just keep it. You just keep overflowing by reading and studying God's word and giving your life, because God came and sent his son to this earth that he might live through us. You see, as we give more of ourselves, God will work more through our life. You know, we've talked about and sung about a lot of things this morning, but it's very important that we realize that Christ died for our sins, but he rose. See, he's going to give us inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, he says, imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, received in heaven for you. You see, although our inheritance is in heaven, it's in heaven, there are three things that we do to build up, while we're here on this earth. That is to love other people, give to God, and to serve the Lord. And you see, after describing the glories that awaits us, Paul's final admonition shows how we should respond. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain for the Lord. William James Sidis was a well-known child genius who taught university mathematics at the age 16. You think about that. He was age 16 teaching mathematics. But his adult years were spent collecting, you think about that. He spent his whole life collecting, memorizing streetcar schedules. Now, who in the world would want to collect and memorize streetcar schedules? Well, he died alone in a ragged apartment, destitute and broken. His rare talents only briefly helped anyone. See, the most effective way that we can serve God is by letting Christ demonstrate his life through us and by sharing the gospel with other people who don't know him. Is that how he really wanted to be remembered? I don't think so. How do we want to be remembered in this life? Well, we want to make contributions to the kingdom of God. But God made the best contribution to us when he went to the cross and died for our sins. Amen? Amen. He gave us life eternally. And one of these days, we just see briefly. We can only think and experience and witness things here on earth. But one of these days, we're going to see it, as Paul says, face to face. And then it'll be reality to us. All the toils and all the suffering, all the pain and the sickness and everything that we've gone through here on earth will be well worth it. And it's sticking it out, not quitting, not giving up. But Jesus said, those who will overcome. Overcome. That means stick it out, not quit. Stay with me. And that's why Jesus said, disciples, he said, are you listening? You know, the scripture says, are you listening? Do you have your ears on? Are you listening? Because this is important. Paul says, brethren, earnestly, steadfastly, therefore, when he's saying these words, I beseech you, brethren, to listen to the voice of the Lord. When he speaks to you, when he's calling you, when you experience things in your life and you don't understand it, but you know that there's something empty in your life, and you're searching and you're searching and you're searching, and it can be someone else that come alongside you and said, you know, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know my Savior? And that might be all it takes for them to see Jesus. Because you may be the only book, the only Bible that they ever read or witness. And you see, That's what Paul is saying here, you know. You're citizens of God. You're a part of God's kingdom. So don't discount, don't lose heart, but be steadfast, immovable till the end. There's so many distractions in this world, and Satan is in front, and he's handing out coupons and certificates to everybody that will take one. And he will lead you in the wrong direction. But Paul says, you know, if you'll be steadfast and strong in your faith, not wavering, you'll end up at the finish line. And one of these days, your reward will be heaven. You know, anything else doesn't matter. But our reward is heaven. And if we're faithful and we're true and we will hang in there and stay faithful and serve, what a glorious day that will be when the Lord Jesus Christ says, welcome home. You know, you was right there with me. You know, we was right there at the cross when Jesus was crucified. We might not think that physically, but we were part of everything that's ever taken place in this world, because we are here on this earth now. And we follow a lot of the same patterns that this whole world has done. And that's because of sin. But thank goodness he died, he rose again, and he has written our name, your name, in the Lamb's Book of Life. No one or nothing can remove that. Nothing. So how much more should we be faithful? Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Our Father, we thank you this day for your many blessings. We reveal anything to our heart this morning. Help us to examine our own life. We are responsible, accountable for the life that we live, the life that we give in service to you. If there's anyone here has any uncertainties or any concerns or any questions about their relationship with you, Lord, we're here to help, to direct, to lead them to you. Lord, let your will be done in this invitation right now as we sing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.